This morning we have two different scripture readings, both about Thanksgiving. The first from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, and Psalm 66, all verses 1 through 20. I pray that God blesses this reading of his holy word. Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Okay. Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, "How awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my soul. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened, and he has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me." Make a joyful noise to God.
I want to say thank you to Philip for, he's a third generation, fourth generation song leader in the family, but thank you for leading this morning. Beautiful songs that you've chosen. Back in the end of May in our staff devotional, we take turns each month having a devotional time for the staff meeting. And as I came in, it was my turn, and Ike said, "Well, we're going to have a short meeting today, so let's cut everything short." And I jokingly said, "But I had a sermon prepared." So afterwards he said, "Well, there's a Sunday in May and July when I'm not going to be here. How about that sermon?" So that's kind of how this got started. But I'd also like you to think about what we sang, "Lord, Take Control." In our VBS, Paul Reeser led many enthusiastic songs, and the children were very much rejoicing and singing. A lot of action. But one of the things I loved was when Miss Crystal, she just got everything calmed down. And then she would sing with them the song, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength. So we sang that song, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the question remains, though, how do I love God with all of my mind, soul, heart, and strength? You know, we've known the commandments most of our lives, but I guess I still struggle with knowing just how do you do it? And we've come here today to do that. So I have some reflections. In the Old Testament, the book of Job tells us that in his story, that Job, a righteous man, got the news that a windstorm came and blew down his son's house where all of his children were staying, and it killed them all. And it says he tore his robe, shaved his head, then he fell to the ground in worship. What does that mean? How can this be? Last Sunday, Ike preached on Psalm 146, a psalm of great praise. And as we were reading that this week, I hoped you noticed the words. It says, "The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous." So that was that is fulfilling what Job lived out. I hope, excuse me, the praise that is sung in Psalm 46, we also see in Psalm 66, how to give our hearts fully to God, even in the messiness and the many interruptions in life. Certainly, many more things happened to Job, including losing his belongings, his children, his health, and even to the point that his wife said, "Curse God and die." But instead, Job was faithful in his devotion. But to be sure, he had a lot of questions. So he talked to God a lot. And of course, God had some things to tell him. So reflecting on this, I was reading again in Luke how Jesus was moving with his disciples from Galilee down toward Jerusalem. So along the way, we saw the signs of the Messiah being fulfilled. The blind were being given sight, the lame walking, those who had leprosy were being healed, the deaf heard, and good news preached to the poor. So I want to focus on that story where Jesus encountered 10 men with leprosy, is what Luke calls it, some kind of infectious skin disease. I have seen people with leprosy. Back about 45 years ago, when Robert, my husband, was doing a tropical medicine fellowship in Louisiana at Louisiana State University, we went to the leprosarium that existed then, and he was doing some medical care with people with leprosy. Later on in Costa Rica, he was working in a leprosarium. So I saw people with disfigured skin conditions, the loss of nerve sensation that causes them to lose even their limbs. But now, thank God, it's a treatable disease and very limited in the world population. But in the Bible, in two chapters in Leviticus, it talks about what you do with people with skin diseases. What makes them clean or unclean. If they're unclean, they have to live outside the camp. And also gives the priests instructions on how to do the purification. This was the means of controlling communicable diseases. If pronounced unclean, the person had to tear their clothes, let their hair hang down, and if anyone approached, they would cover their lips and cry, "Unclean, unclean." And they were considered contagious. Everybody shunned them. Certainly no one wanted to experience their loneliness and suffering. So as Jesus and his disciples are traveling, on the border, it says, between Galilee and Samaria, toward a town, 10 men in a huddle, they saw Jesus from afar. They recognized him. They'd heard about him. And you can imagine the buzz among them as they got their mouths ready. Unclean, unclean. But no, they called, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus saw them. Jesus saw them, it says. What did he see? Who did he see? Did he see a ragtag group of desperate bodies? Or did he see human beings marked with pain, abandonment, fears, and social stigma? Yes, Jesus saw them. And he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. No other greeting, no ceremony, just go. Amazingly, they obeyed. They went. No questions, no more conversation. They took off in faith. After all, what did they have to lose? Imagine just for a minute with me what was happening when they began to feel changes in their bodies as they walked along. Nerves in their fingers tingling, their feet feeling the gravel on the ground, warm blood flowing in tissues, new skin replacing the sores. They were physically healed. They were clean. They were jubilant, rushing headlong toward the priest. Duty and law directed them to get a clean bill of health. Then life could begin. But one of them took a minute to think about this. Sensation in the fingers and toes, the skin becoming vibrant. He was seeing and feeling the presence of God. Instead of following the huddle of friends, he followed his heart. He was used to being on the fringes, being seen as a nobody. But now someone had seen him as a person of worth. Yes, that Jesus is the Master. So without a thought, he's turning around and running, shouting his praise and thanking God with a loud voice, and threw himself on the earth before Jesus. He made a real spectacle of himself, acted just like a starved beggar. But in ecstasy, he expressed worship in heart, soul, mind, and strength, all his bodily strength. Martin Luther was once asked to describe the nature of true worship. His answer, the 10th leper turning back. I want to be the 10th leper. Luke added a little caveat. He said he was a Samaritan. Not only was he diseased outcast, but he's a foreigner. That one praising God lying on the ground before Jesus is a foreigner. What does that tell me? The miracle is about more than healing a body. This was a teaching that Jesus wanted for his disciples. That includes us. Could it be about something bigger than just being a good Jewish follower or a good Christian coming to church on Sunday? Jesus says, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then Jesus said to the man, this one at his feet, "Rise up and go. Your faith has saved you." That word, saved you, is different from when they were healed. That word saved means he is now whole. Something about him altogether is different. 10 were obedient to the command to go. 1 turned back and gave his heart to the healer. 10 were healed of their skin diseases, and 1 was saved whole. 1, the foreigner, received something more. Does the gift have anything to do with giving his whole heart to the healer? A few weeks ago in VBS, the Colemans and I had the center that was called the spices and herb shop. I shared the story during that time with the children about Mary. This Mary, you remember, the Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And recognizing that spices came from afar, they were very expensive, just like gold. And Mary had something very precious, and that was an alabaster jar of perfume. And as Jesus had come again to the house, she did something audacious. She went into the room where they were eating. Lazarus was there, the one, her brother that was raised from the dead. And so she brought in her jar of perfume, and she poured it on, kneeled at his feet and poured it on Jesus' feet, and then wiped his feet with her hair. The reaction was, "What a spectacle. What a waste," said one of Jesus' disciples. "What could ever compel her to do such a scandalous thing?" And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This was intended for the day of my burial." And sure enough, Mary was at the tomb, ready to put on spices on the body. But no, he had already risen. And he was over there. And he says to Mary and the women, "Be well, be whole." And the women clasped his feet and worshiped. How do I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? To be sure, I must know in my heart that God loved me first, and Jesus gave his all for me. Then gratitude and praise begin to flow. I can remember when we had the Ehimare family here from Nigeria, and Osei led prayer at our women's retreat. She got up to pray, first raising her hands, then she was down on her knees, thanking God for how he had blessed her family and how those four little babies were being taken care of by this church. She knew how to praise God. One of my great friends in Honduras, Hill Martinez, has a wonderful voice like Philip and his family. But Hill used to be a truck driver for farm animals, but he came to work for Predison, and we loved to hear him sing. But one day after our morning devotional, we had all kneeled down to pray, and he just stayed there praying. And this was back when we were in the office, Kyle, I think you remember. And I thought, why is he still there? Is something a little off on him today? But no, Hill was used to kneeling. In his church, they kneeled often and had vigils of prayer. He knew what it was like to be in the presence of God. C.S. Lewis wrote in his Screwtape Letters, "A moderated religion is as good as no religion at all." That's something to think about. The Samaritan foreigner had found mercy, and he was an all-in man. But his religious heritage drew also from the same scriptures as the Jewish people. So I think he was familiar with the Psalms as well. So when Jesus told him to arise and go, he went. But I think there was a psalm in his mind, maybe several psalms. So I'm going to choose Psalm 66 today. So this is where the psalm comes in, a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. So he is very joyfully aware of God's presence, God's healing, his power, and his response to all creation. So he sings out, "Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth, bow down before him. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name." And then it uses the word in that psalm, Selah. I understand that means forever. So praise him forever. Then let's pretend he remembers what God has done. And so he continues to sing, "Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They pass through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Selah, forever. Here, the Samaritans recalling, remembering the historic milestones of his people. Deliverance from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, crossing the Jordan River on dry land. All those miraculous, powerful acts of God. He goes on to say, praise our God, O people, let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us, you refined us like silver. So yes, God does test us. God does refine us. But we also have the markers in our own lives of what God has done for us. And the psalm says, and he sings, and you brought us to a well-watered place, or a place of abundance, was the way that you read it. So this psalm affirms that, yes, we have troubles, but God is bringing us to an abundant place. So the thanksgiving goes on, and there's a personal response by the Samaritan in this psalm. I will come to your temple now with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. So he's singing about, I'm going to fulfill my promise. You have been good to me. I want to sacrifice and give back. Words of personal response and commitment. And then he says, I want to tell you my story. So he begins to sing this part of the psalm. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what my God has done for me. I cried out to him, and his praise was on my tongue. I knew my sin, but my Father God surely listened and heard my prayer. Praise be to God, my Abba Father. He has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. That's taking a little license there with the end of that psalm. But we can imagine that he might have sung it that way. And it's good for us as we read the psalms to personalize them, to make them our psalm. So this was a song of pure joy and confidence for the leper. And we can see as we study the psalms this summer that the psalms give us words, forms of speech, physical posture, and emotional responses to how to express our worship. Some of them say, stand in awe, dance, make music with harps and tambourines, clap hands, lift up hands, shout. Well, we heard them. I thought it was also interesting, I was reading this, that in Scripture, sitting is the position of God. He sits on his throne in majesty and glory. All creation, above and below, fall down before him. Let's think about that too. This week I got to visit Patricia Dukely. Do I see Patricia? I don't see her. Yeah, there she is. If you don't know Patricia, you need to get to know her. She's one of my praise people. Anyway, Patricia is from Liberia. And you know she has four little kiddos. One was born last year, and we prayed over that baby. But Patricia has told me about her family in Liberia. Back during the Civil War, her family was threatened. In fact, they came at night and told her father that they needed to leave the house, flee, and they actually fled the country and lived outside the country for 4 years before the family could go back. She and her husband later applied for the UN, lottery, and they won the lottery. They got to come to the United States about 11 years ago. Here it hasn't been easy for her here because she works one shift, Abdullah works another shift, they have four kids. There's a lot going on in their household. But when I visited her last week, after she told us last Sunday that she still grieves the loss of her father and her sister. She said, I want you to come over. And so when I got over there, she had dinner prepared. That was pretty nice. But then also I asked her, will you sing the song for me that you sang at the women's retreat? So she sang me the song, but her eyes lit up and she got up because, you know, you can't sing this Liberian song sitting down. So I wanted to read you some of the words, and you're going to chuckle a bit because I'd like for her to be singing, but I'm just going to read them. I am not going to suffer, and I will never beg for bread, because the God of miracles is my papa, and I'm going to dance, dance, dance. People will ask me, what makes you dance? And I'm going to tell them, my Jesus makes me dance. I'm not going to suffer, and I will never beg for bread, because the God of miracles is my papa, and I'm going to clap, clap, clap. People will ask me, why you clap? And I'm going to tell them, my Jesus makes me clap. Listen to this one. I'm not going to suffer, and I will never beg for bread, because the God of miracles is my papa, and I'm going to blush, blush, blush. People will ask me, what makes you blush? I'm going to tell them, my Jesus makes me blush. Isn't that beautiful? What a delightful way to express joy in the Lord and trust and adoration. I pray the Holy Spirit leads my heart, my soul, my mind, and bodily strength to respond like the 10th leper, with wholehearted thanksgiving and praise, like Mary, who gave her best to Jesus, like Ose, like Hill and Patricia, whose gratitude allows them to freely celebrate God's mercy for us. We said that after God pulled back the River Jordan so the people walked over on dry land into the promised land, the Lord also instructed Joshua to choose a leader from each tribe, to gather a rock from the riverbed, and together build a memorial altar for their descendants. And you maybe noticed in the pews and in the chairs, there's that drawing of an altar. And you've thought, well, what's that for? Well, being Doris, a former teacher, and I like visual aids, I've given you a visual aid. So that is your altar of remembrance and praise. Joshua told the people then, when people ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them, God did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. What are the awesome deeds God has done, past, present, that compel you to praise and worship and thanksgiving? Look at that sheet. Everyone take up one, please. There's a pencil there, probably. I'm just going to ask you to do one, not 12. The 12 is for you at home. But think of one reason why you can praise and thank God for being here today, and write it in. I remember I could write on one of those the wonder of when my daughter was born, the first child. I just couldn't believe the beauty of an infant. And I've seen that in the face of some of you as well. So I praise God for that. And I remember also thanking God when I came back to this church 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago. And you had the little house over here prepared for Doris Clark. I was so grateful, and I praise God for that. So I know that you have your milestones. You have your moments when you say, God was with me. God saved me. God healed me. God has raised me up, and we thank him. So take your little drawing home. Fill it out. It's a good way to remember in your prayer time how wonderful and what God is doing for us. If you should be here today and you say, Doris, I don't understand anything you're talking about. I feel my God is far away and really very uninvolved in my life. I would ask you again to consider God's love shown through the amazing story of Jesus as we read it in Luke. Jesus, the human Lord, who lived with joy but suffered cruel, unjust punishment to offer us dry land and place our feet on the other side in abundant life. Before his arrest and condemned crucifixion, Jesus was in the garden, you remember, praying. Three times he prayed for God's mercy. It says Jesus fell on his face before the Father. Abba, Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine. My hope, your hope, our hope cost his life. So consider this story. Where do you fit in? I personally decided, where else will I go but to the Lord? And we're going to sing now the song that says, "My hope, my only hope is you." So if this church family can serve you, and if you want to hear us to hear something of your story, or us to pray with you, we can share our love with you. So come and we will share together and sing together. My own